Welcome back to episode 5 of the 5-Minute Major podcast, based out of the great city of St. Louis. Today we're going to discuss more off-season extensions and signings. There's been a lot, a few retirements as well, another little list of captaincies, and of course there's more and more. And then we're going to break down our Central Division, minus the Blues. We're going to do a crazy in-depth Just Blues analysis in episode 6, so don't think we're skipping them. We promise we're not. And let's start her off, brother. How are you doing first?
I just want to ask you that. Doing great. Another work day, another late night getting our podcast in. But, you know, folks, we're working full time, getting this shit going. It's great. But blessed to be here. Blessed to have another opportunity and getting to talk about the sport we love. How are you doing today, Mikey?
I'm tired. another work day, man. And then we're doing this, which is a lot more fun. So
ain't that the truth?
Let's get into it, dude. It's going to be a long one, as always. Starting off with some signings. Want to take this?
Yeah, I got it. So starting with some rapid fire signings here. So Lindell and Thomas Harley both signing deals with your Dallas Stars. Lindell getting a 5-year, $5.25 million average. And then Thomas Harley, who we talked about in our young prospect kind of page, 2-year, $4 million deal. Both good deals. Moving on to our next guy and kind of a rapid fire sensation here. The Yzer plan is in full effect. Part two, guys. Mort Seider signs a 7-year, 8.5 average with your Detroit Red Wings. Bridge deal coming up for Dawson Mercer, who we did talk about as well. Signs a 3-year, $40 million average deal with your New Jersey Devils. In a change of scenery, rapid change of scenery, Tony DeAngelo leaving the NHL. Solid defenseman. Mike and I had a lot of thoughts that he should have been given an opportunity. He is going to the KHL, signing a 1-year deal with SKA St. Petersburg, which is nuts to see him leaving the league. He is young and still has a lot of potential. Logan O'Connor getting locked up long-term with a 6-year, 2.5 average deal with your Colorado Avalanche. All pretty solid deals. I don't think any of them come at shock. I think we were a little concerned Mercer wasn't going to get signed, but they have locked him up and to follow through. Still no deal in place with Swayman. So look for some deals in the near future, hopefully. Can they get them locked up before the season starts? There's a lot of questions out there. Retirements, though, Mikey. Who did just retire? What do we got on this list?
Some pretty big names, I'd say. Shout out Heat Daddy on Twitter, his favorite player ever, who he calls the GOAT. Tyler Ennis retires, man. 700 games exactly. He was near a half point per game player. You know, he had a solid career, 346 points. Can't blame him. He also had a couple like sick goals that are like highlight reels that you can look up on YouTube if you're interested. Alex Edler, he played over 1,000 games, had 439 points. I think he was a long time Vancouver / King. Just a solid D, man. And then big one for me, Antti Raanta. He retires from the NHL, and he said he's going to go play over in Europe, which is very interesting. I think he's still a solid goalie.
Yeah.
Maybe Carolina's like, you don't have a spot here, and other teams are like, we don't need you. So 277 NHL games, he had 139 wins, a 91.5 save percentage, and a 2.48 goals against. Pretty good damn numbers for him. And then, of course, the legend we all know and love, Kyle Okposo, going out with a fucking bang. 1,051 games, 614 points, and one big Stanley Cup lift at the end of it. I'm so proud of him.
All right. Good guys that we talked about there. Like, I mean, I love Kyle. Glad he went out with that bang, like you said.
Yep.
All right. Jumping into some new captain signings here. Nick Foligno becoming the 35th Blackhawks captain. Wild to think they've had 35 captains, but
yeah,
great choice.
I agree. This is the best choice right now.
Honestly, right now, I think he is the solidified guy that can lead them through this retool that is going to be kind of still of a painful one, but we'll see how it goes. All right, Tampa. A lot of options on that roster, but Victor Hedman named the 11th Lightning captain, joining a list of Martin St. Louis, Vinny LeCavalier, and the great Stamkos, who is now in Nashville. This one, I'm kind of surprised with this last one. You know, I don't know if I would have pegged him as a captain material guy, but Radko Gudas with the 9th Ducks captain spot. So it's kind of a goon, but I mean, I think he's loved in that locker room, and I think he's been loved in every team he plays for. So out of those three, you know, I don't think any of them were a wrong choice. So really good guys that have been picked for captains, and slowly we're lowering the number of teams that don't have a captaincy filled right now. So a lot of good leadership and great opportunity for all three of these guys to lead their teams into a better season.
Yeah, I think there's only like three or four teams left without a captain, and they're pretty like obvious ones.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they do. I mean, there's players like Tage Thompson in Buffalo that could maybe get it, or to Alex Tuck or something like that. Other than that, like, you know, it'll be a formality. Utah won't name one for a while, I don't think. Maybe they will after the season, but we'll see. They need a team name first.
I think Clayton Keller kind of slipped up and kind of told everyone the name. It's I'm thinking the Utah Yetis, which, if true, I fucking love it. It's going to be great.
I do too. I think it's perfect, especially with the color scheme they're going for. I would have also loved the Outlaws. The Outlaws is sick.
Yeah, I think the Outlaws is going to be the next expansion team, which is going to be in Houston.
That would be really cool too.
Houston Outlaws, I think, could be a solid team name for a team in Texas.
I like that. All right. And then some more news for you guys. This one kind of hurts us, man. Especially Blues fans, and then of course Capitals fans. Mr. TJ Oshie's going to be taking as much time as he needs, personal time, to work on his back problems. He's got some chronic back injury, and I know he was like having trouble even lifting his children last playoffs. So he's on LTIR. Who knows if he's going to come back? I know the Capitals put a statement out that they're just going to let him take his time and see what he does. I mean, he's pushing 38 years old, so it might be the end of Osh Sochi, and that would be really sad to see, but he's had a crazy good career. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was one of my favorite all-time Blues. I mean, I won't lie, I had the TJ Oshie Fathead in the room for a very long time. Shout out to Fathead and some great products there. But I think the rumors around the league, and I mean, listening to the Cam and Strick podcast, Andy Strickland really thinks TJ Oshie's probably done. I don't think he's coming back from this back injury. And I think at the point of a lot of these players have to get to, you got a family and got to make that decision for them. You got little kids that you want to see grow up, and you want to be as healthy for them as you can.
100%. All right. On to the next one. Mr. Celebrini showed out in his preseason debut. Had him out there with Toffoli. I'm assuming that's the first line for them, is Celebrini, Toffoli, and maybe Will Smith even. He came out. He scored a goal. He had a nice, sick, no-look pass to Toffoli for a tap-in, too. I'm not surprised. I know he's skillful. I just, like, know he doesn't have the hype as Bedard did, so I'm kind of ready to see if he can maybe do better than Bedard in his rookie year. He has like the similar situation.
Yep.
So we'll see with the Sharks, man.
Which, I mean, I think it may be good for him that he doesn't have as crazy of a hype around him. It's less pressure. All he's got to do is worry about playing the game. So I think this could be great for Celebrini.
So true.
All right. The rumor mill arising. We saw this one late today. Igor Shesterkin, contracts, extensions, and prices are not lining up with the team right now. He's wanting upwards of $12 million average, which I find insane. He is a good goalie, but is he worth $12 million? I don't know. The other big thing is he says he wants to have the contract talks finished before the season, and if it hits season, he does not plan on having more contract talks with the New York Rangers. Sounds like there's a lot of separation between the two teams under discussion. Does he get moved? Is he traded? are teams like Boston looking for a goalie, but then again, they couldn't pay Swayman $10 million, so I don't think a $12 million, man.
They don't even want to pay him $8
No, yeah. So I think Igor's might price himself out of a contract in New York, which could be devastating for the Rangers when you really thought he was your goalie for the long term and the long road.
Yeah, we'll see. It's just a rumor, of course, but if he actually wants that much money, he might have to come down a little bit because New York can't just toss that much, I think. You know, well, they are a huge market. They don't have like a McDavid signing yet. Well, maybe Panarin might be a pretty big contract already, but
you got Panarin.
It's not $14 million No. So I don't know. They could maybe pull it off. They got to get the Trouba contract off the books. But then remember, Keandre Miller's your future D-man too. He's not signed for that long right now, and it's cheap too, but he might want more. I don't know, New York. He might be losing out on Igor. We'll see, though.
Yeah, that's, I think, you're looking at your highest paid guy on the Rangers right now is Panarin. At $11.64 million.
Okay, he gets paid a lot.
Yeah, but then you have Adam Fox making $9.5 million, and then Jacob Trouba making $8 million
Oh, but that Trouba contract's got to go, bud.
Yeah, I mean, you got to find a way, which, I mean, Shesterkin's making $5.67 million right now. So
that's it.
Yeah, that's all he's making right now. But
he deserves $9.5 million at least.
Yeah. Also, you still have Chris Kreider, who is 33, sitting at $6.5 million for the next 3 years.
That's a steal.
Yeah. So you got some guys that are getting paid, but also you have a lot of guys that are going to need contracts in the next year or two. So a lot of decisions to be made for the New York Rangers here.
Yep. All right. I wanted to talk about this point because I know that a lot of hockey fans feel the way I do. As you can see in my background, I love jerseys. I know Josh loves jerseys too. Yeah. He's got plenty. Fanatics officially released their line of jerseys. They have their like basic one, and then they have like another one, and then they have the premium one, which was supposedly very similar to the Adidas of last year. And then they have their authentics. And their Fanatics authentics, I looked it up. I was absolutely appalled. It is $430 before tax. Blank jersey, by the way. My head can't wrap around that. I will never spend that much on a jersey unless it is framed and it is signed.
Yeah.
What do you think, bro? It's just like, there's a lot of blue collar hockey fans, especially St. Louis and like these other Midwest cities that don't want to fucking do that. Like, how are you supposed to sponsor your team like that without, like, what if they really want an authentic jersey? They're fucked.
Yeah. And coming from the guy that I have paid my fair share of money to buy the authentic jerseys, and I loved having the authentic jerseys. This is fully taking me out of that price range. That is insane. I don't agree with it whatsoever, paying $400+. It better be player's name, signed, game worn, something. Because, like you said, hockey, yes, it is a very expensive sport to play, but a lot of blue-collar people are fans of hockey. It's a very hardworking game. And I think it's going to show some backlash. I don't see their sales being great this year. Also, I think people are not as happy with Fanatics. We saw the issues with baseball jerseys. We are going to see issues, I think, with the hockey jerseys. I think the only thing to say about the hockey jerseys is that the manufacturer in Canada has stayed the same for all of the game jerseys. But $400 is a little steep. And I mean, of the tiers, I mean, the practice, the breakaway, the premium, and the authentic pro. I mean, I think it's going to be a very interesting outlook on how this season goes. I don't see myself buying a authentic pro, and that kind of sucks with the Blues getting a new jersey this year, being in the Winter Classic. So I guess we'll either buy that premium or that breakaway, but I feel like if you don't buy the premium, I think the drop-off to the breakaway to the practice is going to be pretty substantial. So it kind of hurts this year. I'm a little sad, I won't lie.
Yeah, I'm very sad. Like, I was so ready to buy an authentic Winter Classic. I guess I'm going to have to get the fucking premium or whatever it is, because I ain't paying over $200, man. I just can't fathom it. I didn't even buy the last Winter Classic. Like, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I used to pay like $250, $225, which is still stupid.
It is dumb. For an authentic
jersey. And now you're
looking. But it had a name on it.
It had a name on it. Yeah. I have authentic Blues jerseys with Falk, with Thomas, with Tarasenko.
Right.
All of these guys that I bought authentic jerseys with names. Now I'm not even going to be able to afford that for this new season. And that kind of sucks. Especially as season ticket holders and people that really thrive and pride ourselves on showing up and showing our support for our team. I think ownership groups are going to have to step up. And I would not be surprised if early on you can buy a jersey and the team will put a name on it, or there's some special deals going on for their teams. So
yeah,
look for the teams and the owners are going to have to step up at some point, or Fanatics is going to get a swift kick in the ass and have to lower prices before the end of the year or going into next year.
Yeah, we'll see. I just, like, it's so out of range that it's so high that I literally couldn't believe it. I was like, oh, it'll be 250, 430. I was so flabbergasted. But if you're listening, remember, if you're a huge jersey fan, this is what I do. I'm in a bunch of Facebook groups. There are other jersey lovers in there. Just go there. There's trusted people. There's ones where they sell awesome old or even newer authentic jerseys for $150 or less. Or there's, you know, game worn jerseys or blah, blah, blah. You can find all those groups and join those. Or eBay. Like,
yeah,
I use that to sell my own, and people love the shit I sell. So I'm sure there's other people like me out there that sell good shit too. Trust me, I've bought plenty. And so just don't forget that if you can't buy it at the arena, just remember, do your research. Maybe you can find something on eBay. Someone's selling some real shit for cheap. You know, you never know. Someone who doesn't understand the price. So just keep that in mind. But it's okay. Hockey fans will survive.
It'll work out one way or another.
I know. All right, buddy. This is what we came for. This is our final division breakdown, minus St. Louis Blues. We know everything about the Central Division. These are the teams we've been watching our whole entire lives, more often than not. Let's start with the worst team of the group and our biggest rival. Fuck them to the end of time. The Chicago motherfucking Blackhawks.
All right. After a abysmal season last year, you know, they put up a whopping 52 points. God, you have to try to be that bad. The glimmer of hope, Connor Bedard putting up 61 points, putting up 22 goals and 39 assists. New captain Nick Foligno only put up 17 goals and 20 assists. And, you know, pretty lackluster season. And, you know, thank the Lord they have Bedard, because that's their only hope of a future going forward. This team is, I don't even know if you can call it a retool. It's still a rebuild. They're years away. But breakout player-wise, you know, who you got, Mike? Who you thinking is going to lead this Blackhawks team as a breakout player?
They just signed this guy, and I completely forgot. Tyler Bertuzzi, man.
Yeah.
I love the signing. Hate the Blackhawks, love the signing. They've been doing good with these, like, bridge deals for these players to help them kind of give Bedard a chance, you know, because by himself, he would be fucked. So he signed for a little bit over $5 million average, which was around what he was getting before.
Not a bit.
He played pretty fucking good in Toronto last year, dude. He went 22 goals, 22 assists. He had 4 points in 7 playoff games. First round exit. And he's fully capable of being a goal scorer for Bedard, or just giving the puck to fucking Bedard. He's a two-way forward. Berube would have loved him if he would have stayed. Still don't understand why they didn't keep him, but they kept Domi and Reeves, so it makes sense. Anyways, I think he's going to be great with Bedard. I think that's where he should play.
Yep.
He's going to have an even better year because Bedard is a magician already. Last year was just that one step in the right direction. He's going to fully immerse himself. I think he goes near 30 goals. And Bedard's going to do a lot of the passing there. I think Bedard can probably literally assist on all of those goals.
Yeah. I think the other thing you got to say, he's a gritty player, and I think they need someone on the ice that is also going to protect Bedard. And I could see him hopping on the back of someone if they are messing with their Bedard.
Because 100%.
We saw last year he was a target, and he got the absolute shit beat out of him and hit every night. And I think they need some grit to give him some protection and to let you know you can't hit our star player. So I think this is a great sign. I love Tyler Bertuzzi. Loved him in Detroit. Loved him in Toronto. Definitely a solid pickup. And I mean, you can't go wrong with this guy. All right. My guy, Alex Vlasic. You know, not a household name. 2019 second round pick coming into his own after a great showing last season. He's 23 years old. He is a tank. He is 6'6", 217 pounds. His rookie campaign, he was second on the team for ice, just behind veteran Seth Jones. He statistically put up 2 tucks, 14 assists. So, I mean, he's not bringing much to the offensive side, but he is an old-school, shut-down, stay-at-home defenseman. And I think for a team that's had the Seabrooks and the Duncan Keiths and the Dustin Byfuglien's, you need these stay-at-home guys that are just steady and can are big bodies with long sticks that can get in front of the puck. And look for him to have another great season. And would not be surprised if he surpasses Seth Jones on ice time just with penalty kill and different opportunities that could come his way this year. I don't see him putting up more than, I'll give him maybe 3 goals. And I think looking at right around the 15 to 20 assist mark, just for the sheer fact that he's probably getting some extra ice time. But big body, stay-at-home D, looking for that old-school gritty play, which is really fun when we're having those matchups with your Blues and Blackhawks. Someone that could run in our guys, and we can get in a little chippy fight with him too. So looking forward to Alex Vlasic having a great season.
All right, on to our season predictions for the Hawks. I personally think they're going to suck again.
Yep, spot on.
They're going to have a similar season as the Sharks. You know, they're still rebuilding. They had the young first-round picks that are going to be superstars eventually. They've been drafting pretty well, man. Like, you got to give them that. They've been signing these vets. You got to give them that. You know, they're kind of competitive against, you know, mid-tier teams, but then they're going to get blown away by the Nashvilles and the Dallases. They just are going to be good sooner rather than later, I think, compared to the Sharks. Bedard's your guy, obviously. You know, they'll be in a top 10 lottery pick. I don't know if it's going to be 1, 2, 3 or 9 or 10. But they could possibly do what the Sharks did to us last year and, you know, win a few against a playoff wildcard team and bump them out of the race. So we'll see, though. Their goaltending's iffy, and, you know, they aren't very fast besides Bedard and Bertuzzi. They have, like, Pat Maroon out there, so let's not forget that, which is crazy. But, yeah, they're going to suck.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, they're in a rebuild, retool kind of phase. They did have some sneaky signings, though. Like, I mean, you added Bertuzzi, you added TJ Brody, you added Teuvo Teravainen. I think those guys are going to bring an elevated approach to this team, but I think there is still such a wide gap that I have them in last place in the Central Division. And I really hope the Blues don't have another kind of season with like a San Jose, that the Chicago Blackhawks are doing that. But in retrospect, it kind of sucks having Chicago suck, because it was fun when the Blues were competitive and Chicago was competitive. because those were some of the best games to watch. Because I remember the intros, you got David Backus, you got like Jonathan Toews, the battle back and forth. We need that. So really hoping this rebuild will get going a little bit quicker. And with Chicago, you know they can't stay terrible forever. So look for an improved team these next couple years.
Yeah, I do miss being able to battle them in the playoffs, yeah. Man. It was a lot of fun.
All right, Mikey. Colorado Avalanche, how'd they do last year?
Another team that Blues fans might not like. There's plenty of reasons, one being the owner, but we don't have to get into that.
Fuck you, Kroenke.
They had 107 points last year. McKinnon, like, the best. Just love watching this guy. He had 51 goals, 89 assists for 140 points. And let's not forget, such a slept-on player like Barkov, Mikko Rantanen, Moose, 41 goals, 62 assists for 104 points. And then, of course, Kale Makar, 90 points, had 69 assists, 21 goals. He's a freak. Yeah. And then they're, you know, their captain, man. And this, we got to go in depth a little bit on this. So
yeah,
I read a little bit. Bednar had an interview. They're saying that he's ready to play in the early stages of the season. He's probably not the start, but he hasn't played a game in 2 fucking years. This guy, he's injured the knee, same knee, the right knee twice, and they don't really have a super concrete timetable when he's going to be back. Bednar said, quote, "We're all a little anxious and excited about it," end quote. That makes me think he's cautious.
Yeah.
Like, he probably doesn't want to hurt this guy again, throw him out there too early, 3 injuries on the same knee or some shit, and then he's fucking done. But Gabe's a warrior, bro. He really wants to get out there and play and compete again. And if he is back and he can stay fully healthy, this team's got to be fucking dangerous again, just like they were last year and they have been for years.
Yeah, you know, he's another one of those guys that, like, you hate him, but if he was on your team, you'd love to have him. Like,
yeah, gritty, great, like, leader. Low-key gritty.
Yeah, skilled, gritty. And he's a tough son of a bitch because, like, yes, he hasn't played these 2 years with these knee injuries, but he makes your life miserable having to play against him. He's, yeah. Honestly, I think he was underappreciated for his defensive game because he was a phenomenal defensive forward. And I think Gabe, if he can come back and can be healthy, I think we're going to get hopefully close to his normal form. But also, I think with a repeated injury, you start to lose that speed, you start to lose that skill. And I really hope this isn't how his career ends. I hope he is able to come back, contribute to this team, and have a couple more years. Because I think I've learned in the last couple of years with some of these players retiring that we really have taken for granted. I really look forward to seeing him come back and getting another couple good years and some more rivalry play with the Blues. I think that's the biggest thing with these two teams. We can talk as much shit on all of them, but Central Division hockey is some of the most gritty, intense, and fun-filled hockey I think we've ever seen.
Couldn't agree more, brother. We'll see with Gabe. Wish him the best, though.
Yeah.
All right. Who's breakout, your breakout players? Player?
I got Casey Milstead. Came over from a Buffalo team and kind of had this revitalization of his career and was a stud for them in the playoffs. So, young, talented guy. He's only 25 years old. Playoffs with the Avs, he had 9 points in 11 games, which is pretty solid. And he's your second line center, third line center. So, bring in a lot of opportunity and look for him this season. I'm thinking a potential 60-point season. How he does that, I think it's more in the 25-goal range and wrapping up the rest with assists, but he's going to have the opportunity to be on the ice, and let me tell you, Jared Bednar, I think, is the secret weapon here about getting the most from his players. So, Casey Milstead, keep doing your thing, bud. It's fun seeing you play. You escape the purgatory of the Buffalo Sabres, and now you're kind of in the promised land. Go ball out, my guy. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, such a sneaky good trade. They didn't need Bo Byram anymore.
No.
Their defense is so fast and solid anyway. They didn't need another player like that. So great trade on their part.
Yeah.
I have their backup goalie. I think it's Eustace Onunen. Yep. This guy was fucking good last year. Like, he didn't play that much, but he was really fucking good. And I've been the biggest Georgiev hater ever since he got traded there from New York. I thought they fucking did the dumbest thing ever, letting Kemper go.
Yeah.
He's just not good. I think he's a backup goalie. And he had a sub 900 save percentage last year, and the team won 107 fucking points. It doesn't make any fucking sense. That's how good their team is.
You can outscore everyone. You don't have to stop any pucks when you're putting up 5 goals, 6 goals a night.
But yeah, he had over 3 goals against 2 per game. Gosh. So, but this Onunen guy, that's where he comes in, dude. I think he can start taking a lot more games away from Georgiev and possibly push him out completely. Last season, 8-4 record. He had a 9.28 save percentage and a 2.25 goals against in 12 starts. What? Who is this guy? That's crazy good. I expect him to get at least 25-30 games played. Need to have him do that. Georgiev's going to have those nights where he's letting in 4. And he's going to do a 2.5 goals against with a 9.15 save percentage. So give and take.
Yeah.
You know, more games means your stats might go down. More responsibility makes you a little more nervous. You know, it's all about conditioning and all that stuff. And it's a lot of mental in the goalie game.
For sure.
But I think he's going to be a really, really solid backup for Colorado. And he honestly might be the answer in the playoffs if Georgiev needs breaks. He could be the starting goalie in Colorado within the next few years.
Yeah, I think that's been the question mark continuously for Colorado is they have dynamic scoring. They have solid, they have one of the best defensive groups in the NHL.
Sneaky good.
But the goalie, they always have this question mark. And I mean, you've had a wide range of goalies in Colorado, but I think why we haven't seen this Avalanche team get to that cup or win that cup. You don't have a goalie that can win you a cup game. And look for this team if this if Eustace could really step up, I think that could be the missing piece, which sucks because I really don't want to have to listen to the Colorado Avalanche win a Stanley Cup, but I think they're a goalie away. And kind of segueing into your predictions, how do you think they're doing this year, Mike?
I think they're going to be a little worse, barely.
Yep.
Like, I still think they're in that 2-3 seeding in the playoffs. I just think they might get a little less points. It really all comes down to that goalie play. Like, that's the answer, truly. Yep. We know that acquiring Mittelstadt from Buffalo was amazing move. So good to get that depth scoring. If Gabe comes back, he's healthy and he's even 80% of what he was. That's huge. Just for him to be there.
Yeah.
And then this Nichushkin kid, he kind of went through a little bit of the ringer, but if he can come back and stay clean and contribute, he was a stud too, low key. Like, they have all they need except for consistent goaltending. And granted, Georgiev did play okay last year in the playoffs, yep. But I'm telling you, this Onunen kid could be kind of like an Artur Shelov's, where he stepped in and fucking lit it up and everyone loved him. So we'll see. But yeah. Colorado's making the playoffs. They're gonna make it hard for teams like Nashville and Dallas to win series either in the first or second round. We'll see if they make it farther than that.
I agree with you. I mean, I have them as a for sure lock in the playoffs. I do have them as the third place team in the Central Division going into this season, just because we have some high powered offenses on some other teams. Not much to hate about this team, like we talked about. biggest thing comes down to Jared Bednar is a secret weapon, and I don't think we talk about coaches enough and them their ability to really develop and form a team. Also, looking at him opening training camp, what a bro. He's got the flow going this year. It's just the guy that I think the players love. They respect him. He knows the game. And, I mean, a couple years ago, he was on the hot seat for a second there. They're like, is this the guy? Do not be stupid. Jared Bednar is that coach that you do not want to move. So I'm looking forward to this season. It's another team that's going to have some dynamic firepower. And as much as I hate Nathan MacKinnon, he is a generational player. So can he top 140 points? I think he can. But I think it's going to be a good season. And for sure lock in the third place to second place spot in the Central Division.
Okay, I agree with you. On to the next, another team that Blues fans probably hate. the Dallas Stars, man. Another fucking fantastic team. Tell me about them.
All right, you know, coming off a 23-24 season where I think a lot of people would have saw them going all the way to the Cup Finals, and they almost did. 113 points. Hell of a year for some points put up by this team. Leading goal scorer and point guy, or just leading point guy on this team, is Jason Robertson. 29 goals, 51 assists, 80 points. And then, you know, as much as we hate him, fantastic captain, Jamie Benn. 29 goals, 30 assists, 60 points. I mean, this is a stud team. They are loaded from top to bottom. Great youth, great skill. Play a hard two-way game and have gotten a lot out of the older players, but also gotten it from a lot of new name young players. So, jumping into your breakout player, Mikey, who you got?
I have one of the youngsters. He had his first season. I don't think it was even close to full season. He only played like 20-ish games, I think. This Logan Stankoven kid.
Yeah.
He showed up and he showed out. Last year, it was crazy. I was really proud of him. He's tiny, too. He's just a little guy. So we love the little guys showing up and showing out. 14 points in 24 games last season. He's only 20. In the playoffs, he had 8 points in 19 games. Pretty solid. You know, first year jitters. He's already got the feel of the playoffs, and he's going to get it again this year. Hopefully at a full-time role. So that pressure might not be as much this year. In a full season this year, I'd love his game. Kind of gritty, sneaky good. Almost like a Martin St. Louis type.
Oh, yeah.
40 points. I think he's a half-point player for now until he can kind of get a more solidified role. Only because Dallas has so many talented players. Like, every line is talent. He can play anywhere and put up 40 points. So I can see it happening for Stankoven.
Yeah, I think in the fine words of Chris Kerbery, I mean, you throw the spaghetti on the wall and you hope a noodle sticks. They've had quite a few noodles have been sticking. And much like your guy, Wyatt Johnston, 21 years old, second season. My God, he's a stud. So growing into his role, he's going to be a household name. I think he will be a household name by the end of the season. 65 points last season, putting up 32 goals, 33 assists, and plus 14. So not only is he scoring, not only is he getting assists, he is on the ice putting up points and not on the ice when the puck is going in his own net. So I have him as a lock to put up 30 goals again this season. I think he is pushing the 70-point mark this season. And the kid showed up in the playoffs. 10 goals in 19 games. Look for him to put up 15 goals as they get their way back into the playoffs and to the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's a good segue because that's where I got him.
Yeah.
Dallas, man. You guys are lucky. You guys are so, so lucky to have a great team and a young team, man. You guys drafted so fucking well.
Yeah.
Be proud. Be loud and proud like we are, even though we suck. you know, you just gotta embrace the amazingness. Yeah, they're cup contending this year. Their only real test is probably Nashville early on if they have to play them like first or second round. After that, I think they breeze through people. They solidified their back end. They just got Harley and they just got Lindell. They also added a sneaky vet in Matt Dumba, who can kind of produce some points on the back end and give you some power play minutes too. So who knows about him? He might be like one of those sneaky Florida pickups like Kyle Okposo. They have an amazing goalie. I don't think he's talked about enough. I think he's overhated, if anything.
He's a stud. He is.
Ottinger, dude. Like, he showed out last season and last postseason. They should have made it to the Cup last year, in my opinion. They're going to do it this year. And then, of course, they have veteran presence that is good point producing too. Jamie Benn, like you said, 60 fucking points still. This guy is a tank. And then Tyler Seguin, like, this guy was tucking him in too that last year. So it takes all the pressure off the real superstar of Jason Robertson. He has so much space and time to make plays happen. And then these young guns are just going to slide in. Stankoven and Johnson are just going to be able to slide right in and get their points too, man. Top to fucking bottom. They are the best team in the NHL, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. And much like you said, I have them as the true lock in the number one spot in the Central Division. And kind of jumping back to your guy that I don't think he gets enough love. And I mean, he's kind of a Ben Bishop-esque kind of goalie sitting at 6'6". Jake Ottinger, hell of a season last year. Played 54 games. 54 games, started 53, 35 wins, 14 losses, a .905 save percentage, 3 shutouts, 2.72 goals against average. So, hell of a season. And then playoffs last year, 19 games in the playoffs, 10 wins, .915 save percentage, improving off of his regular season, and a 2.24 goals against. This team is ready to win a cup. And they've done it by drafting well, and their youth is come to fruition. So I think it's hard to find a flaw in this team, and like truthfully, I can't sit here and give you one. Their defense is top notch. I love this forward group. And honestly, I love my Blues jerseys, but I'm not gonna lie, I have a Tyler Seguin green jersey at home. That Kelly green jersey is sick. This team truly is going to go back to the playoffs, and I think there's going to be a lot of four-game series. I find it hard to believe they don't steamroll everyone they play. If I have one issue with this team is I hate their coach with a burning passion. Peter DeBoer is...
No.
I cannot stand that man. Like, he sucks. Like, he's a good coach, but just the most annoying person to have to play against. My God.
Buddy, I was just about to mention when you were done about how he's amazing.
Like, I can't stand him.
He's so good. He's got like the nastiest Game 7 playoff record in NHL history. I just top to bottom, dude. And we didn't even mention Miro Heiskanen. Like, what? Literal Norris Trophy candidate every year. And it's just absurd that they can house this team in the state of Texas. It's truly mind-boggling. And I truly hope they do go out and win it, because it would be a disaster if they didn't, in my opinion. Like, they are so clearly the number one.
Oh, yeah.
That I would be devastated if I was a Stars fan. Like, you should expect to win.
Yeah.
Like, as a fan. As a player, you know the mindset that they have, you know, like, you know, we're going to go in there, we're going to play our game type shit. You know, they keep it short on the interviews. So I'm just saying, as a fan, you should be fucking confident in this season.
And I think it's one of those things where we sit here and we're having to go in and be like, oh gosh, we forgot Miro Heiskanen. if you're having that, I don't think there's another team in the NHL from top to bottom where it's big name guys all managed under a good cap. So a lot of shout out to that front office and veteran guys that are studs still. Like Tyler Seguin doesn't have to put up 100 plus points a season anymore. He can put up the 70, 80 points playing on your second, third line. And that's all they need. I mean, with age, their players have gotten better. Their youth is stepping into more roles. And a goalie that can take them to the promised land, in my opinion. So, Dallas, I can't say enough good things about this team. Predominantly going to be the best team in the NHL. And I think special teams-wise, they have a lights-out power play and one of the best penalty kills in the league. So, like, all around Dallas, I have no flaws on this team. Go out and kick ass. I mean, it's going to be a fun year to watch you guys. And that's coming from a diehard Blues fan where it sucks to be like, man, they're fun to watch. And yeah. I can't wait to watch them this year. It's going to be a really fun year watching the Stars play.
I know. I'm a Blues fan first, but a really close second is just a hockey fan, dude.
Yeah.
I love watching good hockey, and it sucks that it's Dallas. And it sucks that it's going to be this next team we're about to talk about, another big Blues fan hate. You know, we hate this fucking, we hate the fan base.
Yeah, oh my God.
More than we hate the team. But this team fucking beefed up in the offseason, and they still have a fuckload of money to work with. They might get even better before the season starts. On paper,
yeah.
second best team in the West behind Dallas, I think.
I don't
the Nashville
know.
Predators. I'll give you the rundown, and then I'll let you go in. The rundown, 99 points last season. They had a crazy run at the end of the year, thanks to fucking Ryan O'Reilly and Philip Forsberg and those guys. Forsberg, 48 goals, 46 assists, 94 points. Unreal.
Yeah.
Ryan O'Reilly, 26 goals, 43 assists, 69 points. We miss you, bud. We miss you. We wish you never had the Leaf. Then they signed two 40 fucking goal scorers. Marchessault, 42 goals, 27 assists, 69 points. Steven motherfucking Stamkos, 40 goals, 41 assists, 81 points, and he's old as fuck now. And then their captain is a stud. Roman Josi, 23 goals, 62 assists, 85 fucking points. I don't even know how I could pick a breakout player. Everyone they signed had a breakout season, and they're old. So who do you have, though? Who do you have? We'll go into the season prediction. I know I said what I said. Just who do you have as the breakout player, and then we'll get into that.
Another big-name signing that I don't think gets enough respect, Brady Shea, coming out of Carolina, where he was a dominant shutdown defenseman. He is big. He has a slap shot. He's going to have an important role. And the other thing is, he doesn't have to be offensively driven. He just needs to play some big boy minutes and put the beef on the bun in the back end. So look for Brady Shea to solidify defensive play again. And I think that's kind of been my trend with this Central Division is we play really gritty defensive hockey. And Brady Shea is going to thrive in this division. I loved him in Carolina, and I love Carolina, and I can't believe they let him go. He is on the older age. He is in that upper 30s range. But look for him to be a breakout player on this phenomenal piece-together team by Barry Trotz.
Agreed. Sneakiest good signing of the offseason. I think people didn't talk about it enough, like you said. He's a 1A, 1B guy, 100%. I went the younger route. I have Luke Evangelista. I love his last name. That was one of the main reasons. Such a sick name. He was a beauty last year, 16 goals, 23 assists, 39 points in his second year in the league. Nice. It all goes back to what I said. With the additions of the two superstars and the Stanley Cup winning players and Ryan O'Reilly, he's going to be able to produce, and he's going to have a lot of confidence being around these guys. Like, what a locker room they got. It's a perfect place for young players to step in, pocket some goals, tuck them in, bud. You're going to get all the chances in the world. I think he gets 20 goals, maybe even 25. As long as he plays alongside somebody like that, which it's not hard to on this team. I'm pretty sure he played with O'Reilly and Forsberg last year, at least on the top six. So if he does that again, look out. This kid might be shifty. He might score 30.
Yeah, honestly, he may actually benefit playing on a lower line with better matchups because they have added such a increased substantial forward group that maybe you're allowed to give him some less playing time, but against less skilled or less defensive-minded players, he may blossom and grow into a powerful player. It's a great pick, Mike. It's a great pick.
Yeah, because they can... God, they can run like three literal superstar centers. So
yeah.
I put him on the third line.
Yeah.
So, and he'll flourish. Has to. Has to.
Yeah. All right. Prediction wise.
All right. I said what I said earlier, man. This is the second best team in the Central, and they haven't even played a fucking game yet together. On paper, I can't imagine them doing anything less. They're going to run four solid lines.
Yep.
Superstar talent. And that includes Ryan O'Reilly. Don't get it twisted. They're going to play big, solid motherfucking defense. Just Roman Josi's your shifty guy. Everyone else is beefy. Like, they have Luke Shen back there, dude.
Yep.
Let's go. And then, of course, the goalie you just signed to an extension on a pretty good fucking deal at this point, hearing the Swayman bullshit. Saros, Vezina caliber almost. He's a little smaller, but it doesn't matter. He's got that butterfly effect to him, and he's a solid fucking goalie. Barry Trotz, man. Hey. Claps to you, bro. Claps to you, Barry Trotz. You are a genius. I don't know what you did to get these guys to want to come. Probably the no state tax. But the only downside to Nashville is if they don't get the one seed, they might have to be in that two or three slot, which might put them against Colorado. In that first series against Colorado, they're going to be walking all over you, dude. They're so fast, man.
Yeah.
Like, Nathan MacKinnon is hard to contain. Ryan O'Reilly did pretty good shutting him down a few years ago, but Ryan O'Reilly isn't that way anymore. He's kind of slower, but we'll see. But if they do get that first seed and they can play a wild card team, it'll probably be someone like the Blues.
Yeah.
Or the Wild, or Seattle, or maybe even Vegas, which might be a little bit tougher. But they really need to be either in that number one spot, or they really need Colorado to be in a wild card. And then I think they can make a run in the playoffs. It all depends. But congrats to Nashville. Like, great city. Their team is amazing. It's going to be so fun to watch. Just cannot stand the fans.
Yeah, So before I go into my prediction, I've been there for a game. Awesome arena. Awesome team store. Awesome city. Fans don't have a flipping fucking clue what is going on in a hockey game. My God. It's like Colorado Rockies fan.
Oh, dude.
They don't have a clue. Like, come on. You guys have premier music. You have premier downtown. Y'all are just idiots that are there to party. Which, whatever. Hey, we'll take it. But, damn, you don't have a clue. All right, jumping into my prediction.
Maybe they'll learn after seeing Steven Stamkos.
No, they won't. I gave up hope at this point that they would learn what hockey is. Like, yes, you score a goal. They play, I like it. I love it.
Oh,
I
want man.
Some more. Yeah. I mean, I'm a country music guru in the way, and I love it there. But.
That makes you want to throw somebody's head through a wall. Oh, if I heard that when a goal scored.
Oh, I was like, get it together. I was like, if you guys could just put it together where you know and you understand hockey, we wouldn't hate you as much. Like, y'all are awful. All right, I could die on this mountain talking about this. All right, season predictions. Barry Trotz, masterclass.
Yes.
If We didn't have Doug Armstrong. And I love Alexander Steen. Barry Trotz is that guy you would want. Because you convinced star-studded talent to come to Nashville. You have a team led by RRR, Stamkos, Mastrichal, Forsberg, who doesn't we didn't even touch on, who's still there. And then your three pillars that I have on their defense, Josi, Brady Shea, Luke Shen. Holy shit. Another team. And I think this is a team that can compete with a Dallas team, but it's going to come down to do all of those guys stay healthy, because you are on the older edge and you really need a healthy season, because I don't know, and I can't attest to the depth that they have in their minors, much like the Dallas, who seems to have a lot of young youthful talent, the Blues, who have a lot of young youthful talent, Colorado, who just seems to find a way, and then you have Nathan MacKinnon, who like never gets injured. So I think this team is the solidified number two. I'd be upset if they're third in this division, and if they don't make the division or make the playoffs, something went drastically wrong. But they have a lot of pressure, and a lot on paper they do sound really good, but can they put it together as a team? Can they build that chemistry? Will they have a good season going into next year? That's the big question.
It's the question we're going to be asking all season until, you know, they're running away with it. Yeah. If they are. But yes, on paper, dude, this team is fucking locked and loaded. Yep. Can't wait to see them. Can't wait to see what they do. Hate them, but can't wait.
Oh, yeah. You got to hate them. All right. Next team, Minnesota Wild. They had a great season, you know, for them, like in a rebuild process, I would say. 87 points, not bad. This guy that we're about to say, who led this team in points, Kaprizov. Freaking stud. 46 goals, 50 assists, 96 points. And that's an off season for him. That's him not playing to his full potential. And then you got Boldy putting up 29 goals, 40 assists, 69 points. And then their captain, Spurgeon, 16 games played, 5 points. Injured, you feel bad for the guy. He's one of those defensemen you just don't hate. There's not much to hate about him. But he's an under-the-radar captain. He doesn't bring a lot, but doesn't mess up a lot. So, one of those guys that you just hate to see hurt.
Yeah.
But, breakout player-wise, I think on a team that could be pretty solid as a wild card potential team, who you got as a breakout player, Mikey?
I have another youngster outside of Boldy, because he already broke out, and he's already solidified in the NHL. Marco Rossi. You know what? This team reminds me of like a lower end Dallas. Like, they have such great young talent already. Like, they must have drafted so well and none of us noticed until now. He had a 20 goal season last year. This is his final year in his first contract, so he's actually going to probably play for a contract this year. And when I hear that, I think the kid's going to want to just tuck as many goals as possible. I think he finds that contract in Minnesota, $4 to $5 million a year. He becomes a key part to that franchise in the retool into going over that hump like the Blues are trying to do to get back to the playoffs. He has so much talent. He's out there and he looks just as good as Boldy sometimes. I think he goes above 20 goals, and Minnesota needs to keep him.
Yep.
To keep this young core band together, and Kaprizov eventually will get the C, in my opinion, and he's going to lead all these youngsters to greatness in Minnesota. The state of hockey needs some playoff hockey.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? You know, you touched on Krill. That's Krill the Thrill is my breakout player. And it's not that he is breaking out on, I think it's reaching that next level. I think we talk about the superstardom and wanting guys to really reach that potential. I think Krill leads this team yet again. pushing for 50 goals for sure. I had down that, 100 points. I think that is the bottom of where I think he should be. He should have 100 or more. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the 120-point mark this year from Kirill Kaprizov. That requires him being healthy and him putting in that dedication. But I kind of want to compare him. You know, he's one of the stud Russian players that we see here. And, he is the power, and I kind of compare him to Vladimir Tarasenko. Vladdy had a lot of power to him. He was a big guy. And I think he is a finishing goal scorer like Ovi. So I think he's kind of a mixture of Ovi and Tarasenko, in my opinion, because he's fast, he's strong, and he just has one hell of a shot. So look for Krill to really step into his own, and I think this is the year that we hush all the people of saying he's a superstar, and look for him to put up 100 plus points this season.
Couldn't agree more. He's underrated, I think.
Yep.
Maybe not underrated, but underappreciated as a player. Every time we played against him, I was fucking scared shitless.
Yep.
He's so shifty, so good, so strong. He does remind me of Tarasenko a little bit, the way he battled with the puck on his stick.
Mm-hmm.
But there's only one Kaprizov shot, and there's only one Ovechkin shot. It's just, is he going to separate himself out as a 50-goal scorer consistently now? And yes.
He has to.
And yes, he is. And I think he's lucky that he has Rossi and Boldy with him now, too.
Yep.
Because Minnesota really did a good job with those two. As for this prediction in the season, it's one of those teams on the bubble. I think they're a little bit better than people think. Last season might have been a little bit of a fluke for them. Their only thing is they have old-ass goaltending in Fleury. He's so old. He's still good-ish. But I don't know if he can last that long and take them like that far. I do see them possibly getting a wild card. Maybe 95 points as a team. That would probably be too high. Most likely missing, but they're going to be really, really close. And if they do make it, look out. Look out. Kirill Kaprizov, if he's just controlling the game, look the fuck out. And if you're Colorado and you have to play Minnesota first round, get Georgiev some Russian gas, but he's going to need it because Kaprizov's going to score on you all day long.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those that I was last year one-off. Did we just not get what we fully could get from this team? I truly don't know. I have them as a borderline wildcard team. And the reason I have them there is because there's a lot of good teams. And I think the Central Division is going to be very hard to play in like it usually is. But I would not be surprised if your Central Division has two wildcard teams in this playoff run. So a lot's going to come down to can Flower stay healthy? But also, you have a solid 1B in Filip Gustavsson. So he really would have to step into his own. And what did he play last year? He played 45 games, had 20 wins, 18 losses, with a 306 goals against and an 899. Save percentage. You need him to improve. You need Flower just to do his thing. And another thing, like we talked about, you don't appreciate the players you have until they're gone. And Marc-Andre Fleury is one of those guys that I don't think people appreciate how fun it is to watch him, because he is still a freak of nature when it comes to mobility and agility to make plays as a goalie. And I think with looking at these teams and like we've talked about, I have a new appreciation for some of these Central Division teams after looking at them a little more in depth. We have some awesome, fun-filled, action-packed, skilled teams in this division. And Minnesota, is in a little bit of a rebuild and a regroup, but look for them to push for a wild card spot. And I think Krill takes it to the next level, and I'm excited. It's another team. I don't think we've talked about a team that I have not been excited about besides the Blackhawks so far. I think all of these teams have the potential to push for a playoff spot. And like we talked about, we need a action-packed, no runaway season where everyone's trying to fight for it at the end of the season.
Yeah, maybe it's a little bit of tunnel vision on our part, but I do truly see at least, like, besides the Blackhawks, and maybe Utah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe Winnipeg. Like, other than that, everyone else fighting for a spot, man.
Oh, yeah.
And even in the Pacific and the Metro and the Atlantic, like, you can argue a lot of these teams. So it's going to be a crazy year, man. It's going to be so fucking good. I just mentioned them a little bit. It's their inaugural season.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, Arizona. Hello, Utah. The Utah Hockey Club. Yeti, soon to be, hopefully. Last season, as the Coyotes, they had 77 points. Our boy from St. Louis, let's fucking go, Clayton Keller. 33 goals, 43 assists, 76 points. What a stud. And then, are they going to name a captain? We don't know. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, you know, I find it hard to believe you don't put Clayton Keller, put the C on Clayton Keller. I think if you want to take a franchise guy, Clayton Keller is your guy right now. If you don't give him the C, I find it very hard to believe he is a long-term player in your plan. And if he's not a player in your plan, love him wearing the blue note. So I think either it'll be a make or break season if Clayton Keller can stay healthy, be dominant offensively, and a great leader like I know he is, hard not to give him the C at the end of the year or the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. I think if they had a team name, they would have already named him. Yeah. They're going to have an A on his chest and Sergeyev's chest and Schmaltz or whoever else, you know, yeah. Liam O'Brien or whoever it is, but the captaincy should probably be Clayton Keller. Yeah. Shout out St. Louis, man. This kid, absolutely unbelievable. Definitely not a breakout player. He's going to be just as good as he once was. Who do you have as your breakout player, though?
All right, breakout player, Logan Cooley. Mm-hmm. You know, young buck coming off a decent rookie season, put up 20 tucks, 24 assists. Biggest thing to take from this, he is 20 years old. He is very young and raw. He needs to keep pushing his ability. He has the ability to drive play. He has dirty slick mitts. And I think the biggest thing is, I think above average skating ability. So if he can use his skating ability, get in the corners, make plays, I think this season we're looking at, I think, 25 goals and 30 assists. So I think this is a year where he needs to go forward. I do worry, though, he could have a sophomore slump playing in a new city. So I hope I'm wrong with the sophomore slump, but look for him to have a good season and look for his skating ability and his stick handling skills to just keep getting better until he is an elite forward in this NHL.
I think that's so important to mention that we almost never do is skating ability in this league because the league is so fast now. Mm-hmm. Underappreciated skill. I think we just take it for granted with guys like MacKinnon and McDavid. They're so unbelievable. When you watch them live, you people will understand, man. You fans, you gotta just watch them. Just put your eyes on them specifically and you'll understand. Logan Cooley might be that guy too for Utah. Yeah. So what a great point. 100% true.
Who you got, Mikey?
I have another goalie, believe it or not.
Hell yeah.
Connor Ingram. I was very impressed with him in Arizona. He had a pretty dang good year for a team that was pretty not that great. He showed amazing potential. They don't really have a lot of defensive depth until now. And even with that, he won the Masterson Award. So he won an award on a shit team you know, it's just for sportsmanship, but still, like, that means he's got a level head. And now with a better defense, he might be pretty damn good. He was a 291 goals against, a 907 save percentage, and he went 23-21 last season. So positive. Pretty impressive. And he even had 3 assists. So I love to mention that. That's pretty fucking cool too. With Sergachev, Bortuzzo, don't forget Bobby Bortz, Ian Cole as veteran presence now back there now. And then they added Valimaki's coming out of a pretty damn good season, and then they extended Durzi, who's also solid. Their core defense really isn't that bad on paper.
No.
And with that happening, I expect him to up his game. I think a 9-10 save percentage and a 2.8 flat goals against average isn't that hard to come by for him. And I think that's a big reason this Utah team is a step higher than people might think into making the playoffs.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I think the other thing I've kind of seen is the Doug Armstrong GM coaching tree. Bill Armstrong is now in Arizona, which then went to Utah. And he is finally having the opportunity to have an ownership group that is backing him. Yes, he has drafted well, but he had the green light to go get players this offseason and to make trades. Bill is building a team with longevity and a strong foundation with youth and leadership and veteran players. I still think they're on the outside looking in, and it's not to their flaw or anything. I think it's just they're young and they are only going to get better. But that being said, they had the Blues card last year. And these past couple of years, they have just stuck it to us. So look for this Utah team with a lot of energy this season to really step into their own. And I'm excited. It's going to be a fun year. I would love to get out to Utah to see a game, just because Utah is a really cool place to go to. So if I can get out there, I will be taking plenty of photos and bringing it back for our lovely fans here. But bubble team, maybe wild card, but I think they're the odd man out still in this division.
Yeah, I think they're out too. But I do agree that they're very, very cool now. Like, yeah. I just think that the fans are gonna love it. The city is awesome. Yeah. Like, it's hockey city up there. It's cold as fuck, and the mountains are beautiful. My dad has sent me pictures before. Like, they're gonna love it up there as players, and the fans are gonna love the players. It's gonna be such a good place to visit for these teams too. It's almost like the halfway point additional to Colorado now for some of these teams. So like, maybe the travel won't be as bad too. So that might help, but the elevation is a sneaky thing. You know, it's not as crazy as Colorado, but they could play to their advantage if they keep getting better and keep getting acclimated to it. Utah might have that advantage as well as Colorado does. So don't sleep on that either. Yeah. We'll see if they can propel themselves a little bit past what they did in Arizona. You would hope so. They got better. I love you, Clayton Keller, and I think the Sergachev addition is very underrated this past year. If he can stay healthy, he's going to be an absolute dog for them.
Yep.
I do think they fall short. It's going to be under 90 points, 85 points. They're probably going to hover around 80 to 85 points is my prediction. And they miss.
Yeah, that's I hate it for them. But I think much like a lot of these Central Division teams, they are building for longevity instead of a quick success, unlike some other divisions, a.k.a. Vegas. You can't buy everything. Can't buy your wins nonstop. So look for this Utah club in their inaugural season to really be full of excitement And I can't wait to see what this team does going forward these next 3 to 5 years.
All right, brother. Last team. We probably saved the worst for last.
Yeah.
Another team that I don't really like that much. I had them doing pretty good in the playoffs last year, personally, and they sucked, unfortunately. The Winnipeg Jets, man, how'd they do last year?
All right. Surprisingly, a really good season, putting up 110 points. Leading point guy is Scheifele with 25 goals, 47 assists for a total of 72 points. Captained by Lowry, 12 goals, 23 assists, 35 points. You know, that's one of those captains I forget that he is their captain, honestly. You lost Blake Wheeler as your captain, and Adam Lowry took over, another kind of gritty, not so flashy guy. So, interesting take. I always forget about that guy. But breakout player-wise, some interesting players on this team that you could pick. But who'd you go with, Mikey?
I went for Cole Perfetti. I've been hearing a lot about his name, about this guy just on social media randomly. He seems to like it up there, dude, like from what he said. It may be just because he wants a contract extension or something, but
it's like no one likes it in Winnipeg, you liar. You don't like it there.
Right. So, I mean, that's the rumor, right? We'll talk about that in a sec, but I think he's going to have a lot more responsibility now that he's shown so much interest in wanting to be there. Mm-hmm. The management's going to be like, okay, this kid wants to be here, put him top six. And if you're playing top six with like a guy like Kyle Connor or Mark Scheifele, you're going to get some points. Last season he went 19 goals, 19 assists, and he had about 14 minutes average on ice. That's for a 22-year-old player. That's pretty nice. I think he's going to play those top 6 minutes and even some special teams. And if he's around Scheifele and Connor, give him 50 points. And I think he stays about even at 25 and 25. And I don't think it's about outside of his ability either. He's one of those, almost like a Nikolaj Ehlers. I think he's kind of skillful. His hands are pretty good. He's a little bit faster, kind of like one of those skinnier players who can kind of weave in and out of plays. He might not get too dirty into the corners. But yeah, he's an offensive talent for Winnipeg, and he said he wants to be there. So take advantage of that, Winnipeg. So let's see what he can do in top 6 minutes this year.
Yeah. I think he's just going to continue to get better. I think that's the exciting part about a lot of these guys. And we've talked about some guys that are established NHL players. There's a lot of youth in this league that is only getting better, and I think it's great for the sport. So, my guy that I'm picking, he is not the youngest. He's 28, so he's still in that middle age kind of group. Native Green Bay, Wisconsin boy, a 6th round pick of the Winnipeg Jets back in 2015. Mason Appleton, you know, he had a career year in points, goals, and assists. So he played 82 games, which is also a career high, putting up 14 goals, 22 assists, and a career high plus 16. He's grown into his own. I think it has taken some time. I think a lot of it comes down to opportunity. And I think he is a solid center. He plays a solid two-way game. And look for Mason to really step in. And I have him putting up 20 goals, 25 assists. I have him getting career goals and assists again this year. And I would not be surprised if he is a plus 20. He averages about 16 minutes a night. I think that potentially could go up this year if he gets a little more special teams opportunity. And look for Mason Appleton to really solidify and improve this year, and I think that'd be good for this team.
I think that's an underrated player. I don't think people talk about him enough. I remember seeing him play just over the past few years, and I think he's just so just streamlined, solid. You know what I mean? A guy that flies under the radar, but he's a solid type of player, maybe third line, fourth line type of guy. But Winnipeg, I don't know. I want to get into the season predictions a little bit.
Yeah.
He is a key piece to keep around there. I think he's a good locker room guy as well. From what we've heard, there's rumors. I know Ryan Whitney kind of floated it around last year, the year before, about how they're frauds. And the locker room might be a little bit of a mess, which I could possibly see it. You know, we will never, ever know, right? These are professional hockey players. Don't they want to just play the game and compete to win? And honestly, they're in the playoffs quite a bit recently. I don't get why people wouldn't want to play there besides the fact it's in the middle of fucking nowhere.
That's it right there.
and honestly, so is Edmonton and so is Calgary, right? Like, they're in the fucking barren wasteland. Yep. People seem to like it there. So what's the fucking difference? The one thing is they didn't really do anything this offseason from what I've seen. They didn't go out and get a solid backup for Helly because he really needs some days off. And that was truly the reason they didn't win that playoff series in the first round last year. Went to seven games and Helly burnt the fuck out. And he was letting in some fluky shit, and you can't even blame him for it. He played like fucking 65 games last year, and this isn't 1985 Grant Fuhr or whatever, man, like playing 80 games a year, like Jock Plante, shit like that. Like, these guys are moving massive weights around pretty much at this point with all the gear they have on. He's exhausted. In Winnipeg, I just don't know why they wouldn't want to go after even a guy like Casey DeSmith or Raanta.
Like, Raanta would have been a solid backup in this, you know, in this Winnipeg team.
I just don't know where their money's at personally, but I think those decisions are really going to be a negative impact on them this year. I think they have the biggest drop off. Yeah. You know, you mentioned this before we started this pod. I'm taking it from you, and then you can fucking add on to it, because I agree with you. They're going to have a huge drop-off.
Yes.
A drop-off in a stacked division that got better besides them. And genuinely, I think they miss the playoffs. I think a team like the Blues or the Wild or even the Kraken and the Kings and the Golden Knight have a better chance of getting a wild card.
Yeah.
And because we already solidified our 1-2-3 in the Central, and that's Dallas, Nashville, Colorado, unless something drastic happens. I think Winnipeg misses the fucking playoffs. I think they're sad up there in Canada even more than they already are. I can't blame them. And they're going to have some big fucking questions going in to either halfway through this year or the end of this year if they don't make it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think this team still has a lot of great players, but I just don't think they're putting it together anymore. And we had someone ask us that question of like, who's the biggest disappointment going into this season? I think one of the teams that we really have to consider having this substantial drop off and just kind of being lackluster is this Jets team. And if you're the Winnipeg Jets going into the season, and depending on how they go, I mean, Hellebuck played 60 games for you last year. Like, I'm sorry, he's getting older. You can't have him continue to play 60 plus games a year because he will run out of gas like we saw in the playoffs. So I don't think they're making the playoffs. If they do, it's in a slim fight or a neck and neck fight with a bunch of teams for the last wild card spot. But the Jets are about to be in a retool slash potential rebuild. Because if they're out of the playoffs, I could see a Scheifele or a Nicholas Eilers or some of these other players, they're going to get traded. Because are they going to want to pay? Are these players going to want to stay here? I don't know. So this Winnipeg team, in my opinion, is going to be lackluster. So look for a potential rebuild and a potential sell-off if this team is sucking at the trade deadline.
Yeah. Shout out our boy Nate for the question. It was officially, who do you think is going to have the biggest drop-off this year? There's your answer, brother. It's the Jets. And it really does suck because they have our number in the Enterprise. I feel like every time I watch them live, they're beating the shit out of us. I mean, I still remember the Line A 5 goal game like it was yesterday, man. Like, they seem to always have our number at home. Then they go to the playoffs, and they're one of the best American goalies in the league, if not the best. Vezina winner is just gassed. And that is one thing that can't happen. Like, my father and me and you have said defense wins championships, right?
Mm-hmm.
He also says that it's the hot goalie going in, and shout out Jordan Binnington 2019. Like, it's like that, you know, like your goalie, if he has the utmost confidence, sure. I think Kelly went into it and was like, fuck, like, buddy, I love playing every night, but holy shit, can I have one day off? Mm-hmm. You know, like, and the 22 games I had off this regular season was not fucking enough, man. No. Like, I am dead. So we'll see what Winnipeg does. I feel bad for him. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, stud goalie, but I think he's at the point where you need to look for more of a 1A, 1B,
yeah,
or 1A, 2A kind of goalie situation for him. Just because if you can take that pressure off, he's still a stud.
Oh, yeah.
And
never doubted his skill.
You ever let him be rested when playoffs time, he steals a series himself. You put him in an Edmonton Oilers jersey, they win the cup.
Oh, by far. They could have had anybody else.
Yeah.
Skinner played well.
He did.
If they would have had a Hellebuck, they would have been, like, that would have been a 6-game win against Florida, I think.
For sure.
All right, brother, that's it. Shout out Nate again for the question. We appreciate you, brother. If you guys do have more questions, email us 5minutemajorpod@gmail.com. We read all the emails. We read all the questions. Can't wait to hear from you. Anything coming up? Next week is all St. Louis Blues, man. We got so much shit to talk about. We went to the training camp. We've been watching the preseason games. We are so flippin' excited to talk about our team.
I'm looking forward to it.
And I think that's it. I don't think I have anything crazy. First preseason game for us personally is the 28th of September, and then from there we'll be going about 20 more. So we'll have firsthand experience this year. We love you guys so much, man.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah. We'll get back to you next week with Blues. And if you made it this far, shout out you, man.
We appreciate you guys. Thanks again. And Mikey, always love doing this with you, buddy.
Yes, sir. Much love, brother.
Yes, sir. I'll
talk to you next week.
Sounds good. See you, buddy.